We have chosen a rather interesting text, John 6, 66. Significantly, this text deals with man and the failure of man. As we read, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Messiah, the Son of the living God." I am amazed as I study the life of Jesus, the tremendous appeal that he had to people. There was in Jesus a strong, attractive power, and we find through his ministry many people were attracted to him. In fact, as we go back in the sixth chapter here, in the beginning of the sixth chapter, we find him at the Sea of Galilee in a deserted area, and yet thousands of people have been drawn there to hear him. In fact, we are told there were at least 5,000 men beside the women and children. And so a great number of people attracted to Jesus as they heard the things that he had to declare of the kingdom, as they watched the miracles that he performed. And on this particular day, with the thousands gathered around him in this deserted area, as evening approached, Jesus turned to Philip and said, "Where can we buy enough bread to feed all of these people?" Philip looked at the crowd and did some quick mental calculations and said, "Lord, I don't know. If we had over $1,000, we couldn't buy enough to give them every one of them a little portion." And then Andrew spoke up and he said, "We have a little boy here and he's got 5 barley rolls and a couple of sardines, but what's that among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have them sit down in companies of 50. And so the disciples ordered the people to sit in companies of 50. And Jesus took the 5 barley rolls and the 2 fish, and he broke them, and he blessed them. And he gave them to his disciples, and he said, "Now distribute this among the people." And the disciples distributed among the people, and they all ate as much as they wanted. One of the other gospel writers tells us that they all ate until they were glutted. The word "filled" is the Greek word for glutted, or what we would say today, stuffed. And then Jesus said, "Now gather up the fragments that remain so that none is lost." And evidently, each disciple took a basket and walked among the people to gather up the fragments, because they gathered 12 baskets full. And when the people, in this stuffed condition, realized that he had fed them with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, they decided that indeed this is the prophet that was to come, and we're going to by force make him king. "We'll go home, we'll get our swords, we'll follow you to Jerusalem, we'll overthrow the Roman garrison, and we will establish the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of God through Israel." And Jesus, understanding the undercurrent and the intention of the people, slipped away from them and went into the mountain alone. And his disciples went down on the shore, and as it was getting dark, night was falling, they finally got into the boat and they started to row over to the other side of the lake back towards Capernaum. And the people saw the disciples leaving in the ship. Jesus, sitting there on the hillside praying, because it was near Passover, it was full moon, or getting close to that full moon, he could watch them out there in the boat laboring, because at this time the wind had come up, as it so often does, down through that Kinneret Valley. And it began to cause the waves to swell, and they were trying to row against the wind and not getting anywhere. And so Jesus decided time to help them, and so he came walking to them across the water. And when the disciples saw him, they were frightened. They thought they were seeing a ghost or something. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it's only me." And they said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, then get in the boat." And as soon as he got into the boat, they docked there at Capernaum. Now the next day, the people were seeking for Jesus. And so they came on over to Capernaum. Those who had eaten and were stuffed, they came over to Capernaum. And there they found him with his disciples. And they were amazed because the night before they had watched the disciples leave, but Jesus wasn't with them. And they said, "Lord, how did you get here?" And Jesus said, "You are only seeking me because you ate of the bread and were stuffed. Don't seek that bread that perishes, but seek that bread which does not perish." These people were attracted to Jesus. But they were attracted for the wrong reasons. Their motives in coming to Jesus were wrong. And Jesus pointed out to them the fact that you're coming to me with wrong motives. And he sought to discourage them in coming for the wrong reasons. Jesus doesn't want people coming to him for the wrong reasons. "You came," he said, "because you were attracted because of the physical miracle. You ate and you were filled, and that's why you've come. For physical reasons. Just in order that you might be filled physically. But that's not why I'm here, and that's not the real purpose of my life, is to bring men a physical filling of their stomachs. I'm here in order that your spirit might be fed, that you never need to be hungry again." And Jesus began to teach them of the things of the Spirit. And he began to impress upon them the demands of the life and the walk in the Spirit, so that they would understand exactly where he was coming from, so that they would not be deceived in following him out of the wrong reasons. And Jesus began to impress upon them the superiority of the Spirit over the flesh, ending his declarations by declaring, "The flesh profits nothing, but it is the Spirit that brings a man true life." Jesus was always declaring the superiority of the spiritual over the material. That the life of the Spirit is superior to the life of the flesh. That the spiritual area of your life is far more important than the physical areas of your life. The years have come and gone. We've come into the 20th century, the age of scientific development. And through the years, Christ has continued to have a very attracting appeal to people, and many are attracted still to Jesus Christ. But there are many today who are attracted to Jesus for the wrong reasons. There are some today who are attracted to Jesus because they want healing for their physical needs. It's a very dramatic and tragic thing when a doctor says to you, there is nothing that medical science can do for you at this point. Your situation is terminal. In that moment of desperation, when there seems to be no human help, many people turn to Jesus because they have heard of the power of Jesus through faith to heal those that are sick. And many come to Jesus in order that they might be healed. And that's their motive for coming. They really are not coming because they necessarily want Jesus. In fact, they really many times don't want him. But I want healing. Lord, I've been a swinger. And I'm too weak to really swing much anymore. Heal me, Lord, so I can go out and be a swinger again, you know. And there isn't a real desire for Jesus himself and for that life of Christ to be imparted to them. All they are wanting is some physical benefit. And they're coming to Jesus with the wrong motive. I have met so many men who have come to Jesus because they're only looking for someone to solve their problems. They've been like a beast in their marriage. They have abused and mistreated their wives something fierce. They've cheated on her. They've done everything. They've, you know, just sort of crushed her into the ground, and now she's wised up and left them. And so they come. And they say, oh, I want my little woman back again. I can't live without her. I miss her so much. Please call her preacher and tell her I've been converted. I'm a changed man. I know I did wrong things. I was a, you know, and they come on and they just are telling, you know, how they are so desperate. I need the little woman back. And I'll accept Jesus. I'll do anything. I need my little woman back. Wrong motive. You're coming to Jesus with the wrong motive. You're not to be converted so you can get your little woman back. There's not necessarily the true repentance necessary for a true conversion. And many of this is a sham conversion. As soon as the little woman comes back and all, they go right back to their beastly ways. Begin mistreating her again. People come with wrong motives in mind. Oh, I really am desperate. I'm out of a job. I need work, you know. I need food. I'm going to come to Jesus, you know, so he can solve my problems. Wrong motive. Now, it was interesting to me that Jesus didn't want anybody following him with the wrong motives. When those who came to him attracted because they had been filled with the bread, he wasn't satisfied to just let them follow after him. He laid down very straight to them the real conditions of discipleship. And he pointed out to them that that material life that they had been pursuing is not where they're going to find the happiness and satisfaction. And you shouldn't come just because you ate and were filled. There is a spiritual life. There is a bread from heaven that God wants you to have, but it's a costly thing. It's going to cost the life of the Son of God, and it's going to cost a commitment of your life to Him. And unless you're ready to just really partake of Him and identify with Him and commit to Him, then you really shouldn't be seeking Him. If you're only looking for the physical benefits, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives a man life, and He would not allow them to follow Him with wrong motivations. And so we read our text. From that time, many of His disciples went back. Those who had been following Him, those who had been listening to His teaching, those who had been sitting under His teaching. When He really came to spelling out the cost of discipleship, they turned back and they walked no more with Him. It is always a sad and tragic day when you see a man turning back from Jesus Christ. Perhaps they've come and they listened for a time. They were attracted to some aspect or phase of the gospel. They were attracted maybe by the number of people that were coming, or they were attracted by that sense of the presence of God that they felt when they came. Or maybe they were drawn because they had a need in their lives that they felt somehow could be satisfied by fellowshipping in the church. But there comes a day when you've got to make your choice. The spiritual life or the life of the flesh? And a lot of people can't handle that. They're not ready to let go of the life after the flesh. Jesus didn't say, if any man will come after me, let him indulge himself, get in his Ferrari and follow me. But He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Unfortunately, many times ministers are encouraging people to come with wrong motivations. And these motivations are oftentimes encouraged. Just come to the Lord. And if you'll just serve God, God will prosper you and make you wealthy. And we hear all of these glowing testimonies of how I was a bum before I met Jesus, and now I'm a millionaire. And people are drawn because they'd like to be millionaires. They'd like to live the life of a millionaire. But a more real testimony might very well be, before I met Jesus, I was a millionaire. Now I'm broke. But I have true riches, the riches that cannot fade away, the riches that no man can steal, the riches of His eternal kingdom, and I count them more valuable than any of the things I used to possess. That richness of the relationship with God that I now have through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, come to me and you're going to have just a glorious life of ease and pleasure and happiness. Everything will start coming up roses if you'll just follow me. But He said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. They're going to mock you. They're going to scourge you. You're not greater than your Lord. If they've rejected me, they're going to reject you. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, which no man can take from you. Jesus laid out what it would cost to be a true disciple and a follower of him. If they have rejected me, they will reject you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And he didn't want anybody tagging along for the wrong reasons. And so many went back. Understanding now more clearly the terms of real discipleship, they turned their back. Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, are you going to go too? Peter answered and said, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, they had tasted of the truth of the eternal kingdom. They had tasted of that heavenly kingdom, and let me say that once you've had a taste of that heavenly kingdom, nothing, absolutely nothing, can satisfy again. You become spoiled. You become spoiled to the world and to the things of the world because you realize that they are like cotton candy. They may be sweet and sticky, but there's no substance to it. You can't really get your teeth into it. It melts away. Now I have tasted that bread from heaven. There's real substance. There's real life. I've discovered what that life really is. That fellowship with God and that life of the Spirit that I now have in Christ Jesus has spoiled me for anything else. There's nothing to go back to. You look at the world with its allurement, its baubles, its bright lights, and you see it as just what it is, an empty sham, no substance. Oh, I've been drawn by the greater power, the power of God's Spirit, as Jesus said, and you really can't come except the Father draw you. But having been drawn and tasted of that heavenly kingdom, there's no place else to go. Therein is life, eternal life. The life of the Spirit is indeed superior to the life of the flesh. This is the statement that Christ kept enforcing upon those who would listen to him. It is the truth that he sought to bring to men, a paramount truth that must find its way in our daily life itself by the way I live. If I declare the life of the Spirit is superior to the life of the flesh, and I continue to live after the flesh, I'm a hypocrite. If I acknowledge that the life of the Spirit is superior to the life of the flesh, then it must follow that I live and walk after the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. God is calling us to that kind of a life and to that kind of a walk, that we might live after the Spirit, that we would no longer live after our flesh to fulfill its desires, but to live and to walk after the Spirit. And unless I am willing to do that, it would be just as well to turn and go back, because you're following with the wrong concept. And Jesus doesn't want anybody following him for the wrong reasons. Am I willing to deny myself, to take up the cross, to follow him? Am I willing to live after the Spirit and deny the flesh? Am I convinced that the life of the Spirit is indeed superior to the life of the flesh? Must be, if I'm to follow him. So we pray. O Lord, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so pant our spirits after thee, O God. We want you. We need you. We long for thy presence and thy power, O God, to work in our hearts and lives, that we might become all that you would have us to be, your children, living after the Spirit and following after thee. God, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul the Apostle tells us, therefore let a man examine himself, for if we would examine ourselves, then we will not be judged of God. All of us have been attracted to Jesus today. That's why we're here. We have somehow felt that attracting power of Jesus Christ. But some have been attracted for some reasons and others for others. You see, there are some who are attracted because they ate and were filled. Looks like a good way to solve my problems. Looks like a good way to get my life together. Looks like a good way to get off of drugs. Looks like a good way to restore the family relationships. You see, you're not really seeking Jesus. You're not really seeking the fullness of his love and his power and his life in you. You're only seeking relief from a rotten situation. Your motive is wrong. You need to hear the cry of your heart for God and after the things of God. And that is what should prompt you to come to Jesus, for he alone has the word of eternal life. And he alone can bring you to that fulfilling relationship with God. But I would encourage you to come to Jesus today and just commit your life into his hands, that you might live after the Spirit, a life in fellowship with God. If you'd like to do so, we'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors will be back there to pray with you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, guide you, and may you indeed live after the Spirit this week. As God works in your heart, may you eat of that bread from heaven, the living bread, Jesus Christ, that your soul might be satisfied through him.